Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The world will say plenty of things about Christmas and what Christmas is all about. It's about family and friends, they'll say. And it is, that's true. It's about generosity and love toward others, and that's Christmas as well, that's true. And of course, who doesn't love eating good food and sharing a meal with those that they love? These are good things. And Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, Scrooge's jovial nephew, probably sums it up best. He says to his grumpy Uncle Ebenezer, "I've always thought of Christmas time as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. It's the only time I know of in the whole long calendar of the year when men and women seem by one consent to open up their closed-up hearts freely and to think of people around them as if they were really all fellow passengers to the grave and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys." And how can you not resonate with that? Open hearts, goodwill, and some sympathy to those around you. But you know, and I know, that the meaning of Christmas goes a whole lot deeper than all that, and that all of these good things that we associate with Christmas, family and friends, charity and love, the good food and drink that we enjoy, has as its source, its basis, in the love and grace of God. Even non-Christians love Christmas, and we should be glad that they are able to get in on the fun in some small way. But what we want them to know, of course, is that it's God who is the source and fountain of all good things. He is the author of every joy and every single good pleasure, whether they know it or know it not. St. Augustine, he famously said that our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. And what he goes on to explain is that even when we seem to be enjoying something else, whatever it is, God is the actual source of your joy, whether you're aware of it or not. That is, the thing that you love is from him, and it is lovely because it bears his signature, and he's got his hands all over it. The idea here is that all true joy is really found in God. And therefore, whatever is to be enjoyed is derived ultimately from him, the fountain and source of all goodness. So therefore, as you go from one pleasure to another, looking for comfort and consolation, what your heart is really seeking out, what you are really searching for, is God, whom your heart was made for in the very first place. Sadly, so many folks, they miss this. So again, just listen to that beautiful prayer of Augustine. "O Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." Tonight, we learn that if we want to find that rest of the heart, if we want to find the lasting joy of Christmas that God intends for us all, we too will have to just go with those shepherds and peer into those stable doors and behold everything that belongs in heaven down here among us on earth. And we must see the love of God. Listen to the words of Isaiah. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Dear Christians, there is nothing like this claim in any other religion. God is a man. Think about it. The creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who keeps the stars in orbit, who upholds the whole universe by his word, lays upon Mary's breast, his little beating heart lying upon hers. In the words of the Small Catechism, we believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. We believe that God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ to be our Savior, to love us through death and the cross, and to bring to us everlasting life. That is what Christmas is all about. To say that tonight we celebrate Christmas is really quite an understatement. More accurately, we are dumbstruck. We are lost in wonder, lost in love, and we are in praise of our God, that he has been born into our world as one of us, as our Redeemer, and as our God. And this is no fairy tale. It's history. It's fact. And everything hinges on this one fact, that God is a man. Isaiah calls this little child Mighty God. And the fact of the incarnation, that is God becoming flesh, changes everything. God is like us in every way, yet without sin. And Isaiah calls him Counselor. Counselor, and that's a good name. We talk to counselors. And if you ever are going through something difficult, it is so good, so comforting to know somehow someone who has actually been through it all. We find comfort in finding someone who has walked the same path, who knows what it's like to suffer, who knows personally what we've been through, all that we've been through. And that's just the sort of God that we have. That's the amazing thing about our celebration tonight. If God has really been born in a manger, and of course he has, we have something that no other religion would ever claim to have. We have a God who understands you, who sympathizes with you from inside out, and who knows the whole human condition. You see, there is no other religion that says that God has suffered. There is no other religion where God knows every painful experience. No religion where there is this God who knows what it's like to be abandoned by his friends, to be mistreated, slandered, or lied about. No other God who knows what it's like to be crushed by injustice, even tortured, and gone through death itself. But God has done all that. And Christmas is therefore proof positive that God knows all that we might ever go through, and he knows the whole range of human experience. How amazing. There's a woman named Dorothy Sayers. She was a British novelist who wrote on this so well, and I want you to listen to what she wrote. The incarnation, that's God becoming man, by the way. The incarnation means that he himself, Jesus, has gone through the whole of human experience, from the most trivial irritations of family life and the cramping restrictions of hard work and lack of money to the worst horrors of pain and humiliation, defeat, despair, and death. He was born in poverty and suffered infinite pain, all for us, and he thought it well worth the while. I just love that. Just consider it. He had the infinite highness of being Mighty God, and yet he became one of us, identifying with us in all that we might go through. That's why we call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which is a Hebrew word meaning God with us. And that's what he is. Truly, he is with us in every possible way, by your side, in your hearts, in your life, in your home. And therefore, you can never, ever possibly say as a Christian, God just doesn't understand me. He doesn't know what it's like to be me. He doesn't know all that I've been through. Because the truth is, he has. He's gone through it all. And he sees you, and he has compassion on you, and he still loves you with a love that is stronger even than death. So tonight I want you to peer into those stable doors and behold him, your God, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. This is the mystery that led the angels to sing to the shepherds. And when humanity, when we could not come to him, God, he came to us. And this is the mystery that sends the shepherds running to Bethlehem. And in faith, you journey with them. And with them, you bend your knees in silent adoration and gaze in wonder and awe upon Jesus, the great joy himself, who lives and breathes in our human flesh, even now, and will forever. And there also, in the manger's lowly wood, you may see prefigured already the wood of the Holy Cross, on which hung the salvation of the world. And that same love that brought him to you will bring him to that, to the Holy Cross. And those little limbs, grown to manhood, would someday be stretched out to embrace his passion, to wipe out all of your sin, to destroy your death, and to bring you home to the Father, to that one true place where true joys are to be found. Dear friends of God, I want you to know, whatever you're looking for this season, whatever you're seeking, whatever joys you are looking for, know that every longing of your heart, every hope you have, is met and fulfilled in him who loves you. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in him. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.